Hello and welcome to season 3 of On My Last Eggs. I'm Rachel, and like millions of other women worldwide, I'm navigating the wild throes of perimenopause.
I don't even want an extraordinary happy life. I just don't want a miserable life. I want a life where I can get up, take my kids to school, watch my telly and not hate my husband.
I'll be lifting the lid on what that whole messy, confusing journey entails, with plenty of lols and some WTFs along the way.
I just want to drive my car and not drive it up the curb. I want to sleep, which doesn't seem too much to ask for. No. You know, I don't even mind waking up once for a wee.
I'm very excited about today's guest on My Last Eggs. It's Emma Conway, aka Brummy Mummy of Two. She's been blogging about being a mum of young kids for 10 years now. She's got 156,000 followers on Instagram, and it was all going swimmingly until she realised that maybe being a mum of young kids wasn't her biggest problem anymore, because suddenly she shifted into that seismic leap from young mum to peri woman. Hello, Emma.
Yeah, what a shift that was. Yeah, I am peri woman. Give me a cape. I need a logo.
I say that because I talk about this a lot, with the fact that A, because no one tells us about menopause, we don't realise when it might be coming and what age it happens at. But also, we aren't the people menopausal women used to be. You know, people are having kids later. So it means that their kids might be really young when they actually start perimenopause. So it creeps up on you poor people. I mean, I had my kids ages ago and I'm much older than you. So it creeps up on people like you, Emma, very quickly. Tell me about how perimenopause started for you.
Well, it all started. I turned 40, fine, hit 41, and I started to get a lot of anxious feelings. I'm 45 now, so I was 41, started to get a lot of anxiety, waking up in the morning, heart palpitations, just really stressed. So I started therapy because I thought that would help, because I thought I was losing my mind a little bit, and that kind of did for a little bit. And then I got to 43 and I got crazy allergies out of nowhere, these awful allergies. And like a lot of women and a lot of mums do, I didn't bother going to the doctors. I just was like shoving things up my nose and taking antihistamines. And I was still anxious, so I went back to therapy. And then eventually, after like no sleep with these allergies, I went to the doctor. I said, I've got these allergies, lad. And he said, well, you do know that could be like a symptom of perimenopause. And I was like, I just didn't think that that would be a thing. So,
well, I'd like to give your doctor a hell yeah and a high five, because especially at your age, yeah, it'd be so easy just to completely dismiss that or not even have it on the radar.
I have been very fortunate that my doctors, the two I spoke to, the first one was a man, and then the second one that I'll mention a bit was a woman. Both of them have been great. And I know that that's not the case for my followers. When they message me, they say, oh, my doctor might listen to me. But he said, look, we're going to go sort the allergies out, but you may have to consider HRT at some point, because this could be something else. And it actually, I was asthmatic. It got so bad that I got asthma, and then I just stopped sleeping. And like after about maybe a year of just sleeping a few hours a night, lying awake, unable to get back to sleep. And I went to an event and I was so anxious after the event, I ended up in bed for a couple of days. And I was like, I'm not living like a normal life. This is just the no sleep, the allergies, the heart palpitations. I was doing things like crashing into curbs. I reversed into parked cars, just so anxious in the mornings. And I just went to the doctors sobbing, just absolutely sobbing. And I listed everything that was going on. Anger, getting cross at my husband, who was just sitting there watching the telly. He was just not even breathing.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of women talking about, I'm going to have to divorce him because I can't bear how he breathes.
Yeah, he'd just be watching the telly and I'd be like, oh, fuck God. And I said that to the doctor and she was like, I think you need to go on HRT. And she was so kind. And she said, look, this will hopefully change your life. I said, I can't live like this. I was like, I don't even want an extraordinary happy life. I just don't want a miserable life. I want a life where I can get up, take my kids to school, do my work, watch my telly and not hate my husband, go to bed and sleep. that's all I want. That's all I wanted. And that was 2.5 months ago. I started the HRT and I go back for my checkup next week.
And that's not a lot to ask for, is it, by the way? I just want to be normal. Yeah. I don't want like bells and whistles.
No.
I don't want a 3-week holiday in Mexico. I just want to be normal. Yeah.
I just want to drive my car and not drive it up the curb. I want to sleep, which doesn't seem too much to ask for. No. You know, I don't even mind waking up once for a wee. But if I'm up for hours, and I was really crying, God love the doctor, she was with my mask on as well, so it was all like just, but she was really helpful, so I am very thankful about that.
So 2.5 months into the HRT, what are you on, by the way? I think everyone likes to know.
I opted for the tablet.
Yes.
And I will say that that was a knee-jerk reaction because I was crying so much. I hadn't given it any thought and she was talking through the options and I just thought, well, I take my vitamins every morning so I can just take a tablet every morning. So when I go back next week, I will be a bit calmer and I think I'll talk through different options. Now I've read a bit more about it. But, you know, I was just like, she's like, you can have the coil. I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that. Give me a tablet.
Give me pills.
Yeah, and she was like, now you have to wait to your period. I was like, oh, for God's sake, that's not for another 8 days. I want it now. And she was like, you can't have it now. I was like, oh. So the HRT, the sleep is so much better. I am still going in for a wee. Once, one wee. But if I wake up, I'd go back to sleep again. I will say I've had a few heart palpitations. There are days when I am still a bit anxious. We do need to have a chat next week and try and sort something out a little bit different.
And when you're not getting enough sleep, if it was just the sleep and you didn't have any other symptoms or, you know, any other ill effects from, you know, your hormonal changes, the lack of sleep would impair all sorts of things. So it's no wonder.
Yeah, it reminded me of newborn baby days, but without the benefit of being on maternity leave and having a little squidgy baby, you had to work. Like I was saying to Steve, it's like, having a newborn baby, but I've got work. I can't just veg around snuggling a baby, watching telly. I've got to like be functional. And also my anxiety was very bad in the morning. And when I used to go to therapy, I'd say it felt like I was waking up from drowning. So sometimes I'd be like trying to catch my air and reason a bit. I think that's to do with your hormones, isn't it? That it's kind of worse in the morning. So that has got a bit better, but it still needs a bit of tweaking, I think.
And a lot of people say this and it might need tweaking for a while and then you might find the right thing. And then that after a year, that won't be the right thing anymore. You know, it need tweaking again. So, you know, and 2.5 months in is not very long. You know, some people say, oh my God, after 2 days, I could feel the difference. But some people don't really feel the difference for a few months. So I think, well done. Well done for getting the HRT.
I really did cry a lot about it because it felt like the end of a chapter. It felt like I was closing the childbearing years and putting that aside. And now, like, what's the future going to hold? Mm. And I know that sounds so dramatic because, you know, when you think about the menopause in your 20s, you think it's like much older ladies and they're, you know, sweating and doddering around. And I'm like, I don't feel like that.
So I want to talk a little bit about that feeling you're too young for this to happen to you. And here at Eggs, our attention was grabbed by a post you made in February where you sort of said, it was a bit like one of those sort of, I've been talking about these things for a while and here's the reveal.
Yeah, yeah, dun, dun, dun.
The allergies are not sleeping and now I can tell you, you know, the results are in, I'm perimenopausal sort of thing.
It was exactly like that.
And, you know, it's funny because I see people that I consider to be quite a bit younger than me, you know, as you are. And I'm surprised, you know, and I make a podcast about menopause, you know, and I'm like, wow, gosh, you know. But what you do with your YouTube channel and your Instagram and your blogs is very tied in to a time of life, really.
Yeah.
And you've been very honest and open and it's followed your life. You know, you started when your children were very, how old are your kids now?
My children are 10 and 12. So I started when I had a baby and a toddler.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my followers have seen them start to, you know, school, secondary school. So that we've gone through the whole thing all together. Mm. So there are a lot of us. And I will say, to be fair to them, I would say, oh, I've had these allergies, and I would get the odd direct message going, are you sure you're not perimenopausal? Or I'm not sleeping, are you sure you're not perimenopausal? And I kind of like pushed it aside a little bit.
Yeah.
So there were a few people that were just like, I think, you know, what's going on?
It's only a matter of time before she does that big reveal post.
Yeah, we're waiting.
I wanted to talk about the whole idea of image, because the other thing that you talk a lot about is body confidence and body image, and some wonderful posts of you in, you know, swimming costumes and, you know, and you're a wonderful, beautiful, I would say you're probably a bit smaller maybe than the average woman.
So I'm an 18. So I think the average is about an 18. So I'm like 5'6", size 6, but I'm pretty much your bog standard lady.
And yet the world would perceive that as
plus size. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so you do a wonderful job with putting it out there. And I'm curious to know how much you might plan to do around the menopause. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm happy to talk about my body and body confidence and being a mum and all of that. Is there a bit of you that thinks, oh, I don't know if this is a bit off brand, this menopause shenanigans? How much have you thought about that? And how much are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it, Emma?
Well, come on, but let's make a plan. With health issues, I do put boundaries in, and I have said I will probably chat about it when I have my catch up and just keep everybody like in the loop. And if I see anything online, I will share it. But I'm still just living a normal life. I don't want every post to be like, go on, girls, you can do it. I just want people to come online and go, all right, she's going through the menopause, but she seems like she's doing all right. I will keep chatting about it, but I don't want to be the face of the menopause. I just want to be Emma, who happens to be going through the menopause.
What are they saying about the menopause? And are you feeling that people seeing you do it, do you think it's sort of bringing people out of the woodwork a little bit?
Definitely is. I've had a lot, hundreds of thousands of messages from women similar age to me who have been going, oh, well, I've been struggling with that, and I just thought it was nothing, or I've made a doctor's appointment now because I thought I was losing my mind, but now seeing that you were losing your mind and you're managing to get sort it. I've also sadly had a lot of messages from women who have gone to the doctors and they've been sent home.
It's interesting, isn't it, the disparity between the treatment you get from different doctors and the results. And I mean, one of the things I hear so often is women being sent away with antidepressants. And antidepressants play a very important part, you know, in treating mental health and making people be able to live a normal, happy, functional life. But there might not be the answer. It might not be depression. And like you said, you could easily have left your doctors with, you know, some medication for antidepressants. At your age, you know, with your anxiety, it would have been easy to have medicated that, wouldn't it? You know, that would be the go-to for a lot of doctors.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your allergies, because one of my first symptoms was like random itchy bits on my body. Like my eyelids started, they were really bad, and I had to stop wearing makeup for a while. And but then it would just be like the sole of one foot, like in the suddenly insanely itchy when you're driving, you can't take your shoe off or whatever. And it's like, oh. But it was really interesting because I had no idea about the sort of itchy skin and this just not feeling very comfortable in your body anymore in a weird way, like your body was a little bit against you, it felt to me. So I'm curious to know about your allergies and how they manifested. I mean, the fact that you said you developed asthma is bad.
And I have an inhaler. So I would always get like one watery eye, lots of runny noses. My daughter got pet rats, and I always had pet rats when I was little. And the allergy was so bad, like my breathing, it'd be like out of nowhere. It's not like it was hay fever. It was just out of nowhere. And I did put up with it for far too long. But when I described everything to the doctor, I was just like, this, you know, this could be a symptom. And I was like, absolutely shocked by it. But the inhalers now keep it under control. And also RIP, both of the rats died as well. Which was sad for her, but you know, I was a little bit like, oh, at least I don't have to like worry about them anymore. And I forgot to mention, I did have very bad brain fog. And I know we were talking at the start, before we pressed record, I have a podcast as well. And with one of my first guests, I had to say, I'm ever so sorry to stop you there. Could you please tell me where the record button is? Because I've completely forgot. It's just down there. And obviously I'm online a lot. I do a lot of YouTube videos. I watch them back when I'm editing them, and you can see me clawing to try and remember words. And I'll be like pointing at something, and I'll be like, you know, because I've got this new bag
I agree entirely. The brain fog is a nightmare. And it's better for me now. I'm really open and honest about it. I'm a radio presenter by trade, but I do very little of that now. And when I do, I really worry because I've always been, you know, fly by the seat of my pants. I've always had a very wide vocabulary. I never struggle for a word. I never pause. And it is very scary, the idea that the words might not be there. But what's interesting is they're never intellectual words I use. It's just face.
I know, it's just bag.
And you can think of a word near it. So it'd be like, you know, the thing I put my purse in?
Yeah.
And I just got used to doing that now. And I just really open with people and say, you know, I was running a workshop the other day with some people and I wanted to say a word and I couldn't remember it. And I was like, okay, I can't remember that because my brain fog's really bad. So I'll come back to that in a minute. I'm sure I'll get it, you know, and then suddenly you'll shout the word out 5 minutes later.
It'll all go together. But yeah, the brain fog was quite frustrating. And I'm very thankful that I get to work in a job from home where I can kind of manage it. I can see why women sort of around our time of age may leave jobs or leave careers because it must be incredibly difficult. I'm just on my own, so I can just be a bit bonkers on my own.
It's a good point about people leaving the workplace. And sometimes that is because they feel like they just can't do the job anymore.
Yeah.
But I think it is more complicated than that. And some of it will be that feeling of inadequacy, feeling that you're going to get found out. I mean, as women, we're notoriously bad at having imposter syndrome anyway.
Yeah.
And then to not be able to do something as well as you could do it. And there's probably younger people who can do it better than you anyway, because that seems to be the way it works, especially if you work in a sort of technological, you know, something that has advances that change all the time. So yeah, I can really see that. Yeah, much better to be able to bumble along on your own.
I think one thing I have found hard about working on my own in an industry, which is kind of mummy blogging, it's a lot of young women who are having babies. So every day I'm faced with young women who are doing hen do's or having babies. And I feel like I'm like their nan at the opposite end of the spectrum. And I have worried a little bit about them watching my content thinking, is this what's going to happen to me? Yeah, I do wonder if I'm scaring people a little bit.
Well, you might be. But I think forewarned is forearmed, isn't it? And it is coming. It's not like you're scaring them about something that might not happen. It's not like you're saying, I've become diabetic and you could become diabetic as well. And of course, you know, any of us could become diabetic. But this is something that is going to happen to some degree to all women. Some women do sail through it. But I think the percentages of people who don't have any symptoms at all is something like 15%. It's very,
very so small, isn't it?
And it's going to impact us in some way, even if it just impacts us in the way that we feel, like you talked about, you kind of mourn that loss of that era, you know. And for a lot of women, they get to that point where they had their last period a year ago and they realize that's my fertility gone, and it can be devastating.
It knocked me off my feet how I felt, like I was really surprised. And when, once I, you know, started taking the HRT, For a good couple of weeks after that, I'd meet friends and I'd start to talk about it and I would be crying, especially if I didn't even want another baby. But like, you know, I've got friends with babies and I would be like just thinking, oh gosh, this is the end. Like I've spent so long raising children. You know, what's next? It's just a strange time.
I don't want to make you scared, but at 10 and 12, you've still got a lot of children raising to do, baby. This is nowhere near over. Chatting to Emma has got me thinking about how hard it must be to try and explain to your young children what exactly is going on with their new Menno mummy. Now, what tools or device could be used to put it into a language that they can understand and relate to? Perhaps the classic nursery rhyme would do the trick. Let's give it a go. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, I don't like driving in the car. I get nervous on the roads, my anxiety goes up loads. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, please don't make me drive the car. Or maybe we go down this road, depending on your symptoms, of course. Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating some nasty junk food. She'd lost all her zest, wasn't feeling her best, which put Little Miss Muffet in a mood. Or maybe my personal favourite. Humpty Dumpty had a hot flush. Humpty Dumpty was in a terrible rush. The luncheons aren't made and they'll be late again. Humpty thinks menopause is a right pain. There you go, mums. Don't say I don't ever give you anything. Now back to Emma Conway. I'm interested to talk about the children. How much do they know about what's going on and how much has it impacted them? I mean, because the idea that you would wake up in the morning feeling like you were drowning and then you'd have to get them ready for school. And it's quite complicated with school now. I've occasionally got my grandchildren ready for school and, you know, the things they have to take with them and the certain days they have to do this and that. And
yeah, I have always been quite good at masking. So it would be an internal drowning.
And then the best kind.
An internal full drown. I have been very honest. I have talked about HRT. Sometimes, I don't know if you ever found this or your listeners, I will cry. I'm not sad. I'm not happy. I'm just crying. There is no rhyme nor reason. I can just be watching a program in front of the kids and mommy just starts crying. And I just like, guys, just having a little cry. It's just a hormone thing. It'll pass and we'll just carry on watching the telly. So I am very open with them. You know, all of my content, like my body positivity, when they were, you know, toddlers, I would write about tantrums. I want them to know that the lows and the highs of life. And I feel like, especially because I've got a little boy, it'd be nice, you know, if he grows up and if he wants to marry a woman or be with a woman, he will have a little bit of insight. But I think I have done a lot of internal drowning. You're driving home from the school and having a little cry. Bye!
It's funny you mentioned the crying thing. What I find with crying is that I find I will start to tell my partner something I've heard on the radio. And it wasn't even that like moving or like something I've watched or whatever. But it might be a bit moving, like it might be someone's story about something. And I'll start to tell it and I start crying like it's happened to me. I'll be like, and then she said that, like, what is this thing? It's not a little tear.
The feelings I feel are so felt. So it's like, if I'm sad, I'm really sad. But if I'm happy, oh my God, I'm so happy. It's just, and I don't know if that is the HRT, but I am like, you know, take that, I release in a film. And I watched the trailer yesterday, sobbing, messaging my friends, when we go and see this together, girls, we'll be crying. And they're like, no, you'll be crying, you weirdo. I just feel the feels. And I think I need to have a word with the doctor about that. We dial that down a little bit. It's a bit intense.
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a bit of time to get this right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now I know you don't want to make a big deal about the menopause, but it is interesting as well hearing you talk about, you know, you work in this world of, you know, mummy blogging. And so you're seeing all these bloggers come up behind you who are just having babies and they're, you know, talking about it like they're the first person that's ever had a baby, which is how we all feel when we first have a baby. We must be the only person who's ever done this. And I feel there is a market for you to move into the menopause thing. And there's also something rather joyous and wholesome in following someone through these stages. And if you think about the lifespan of the internet and social media, you haven't really been able to follow someone's entire life. You know, it's quite a special place to be that you've exposed yourself, so to speak, from, you know, having young children. And here you are now at this perimenopause stage.
It's like a first generation people on the internet, isn't it? And it is definitely something I will talk about. I think at the moment, because it's so fresh with the HRT and I am still up and down, I'm quite vulnerable and it still feels a little bit raw. So I have been very honest with my followers and I'll be like, when everything's a bit more settled and I'm a bit more stable, we can chat a bit more about it. Because I do bump into a lot of followers and they will be like, how's the menopause going? How's the perimenopause? And they'll have a little chat with me. So they are interested. I just find it quite fascinating. I don't know if you notice, like a lot of celebrities, like I've been thinking about it recently, you know, like Cameron Diaz and people like that, they kind of vanish, don't they? They go like, we're taking a career break then they just disappear and then they come back a bit older. So I do wonder if that's something to do with kind of hormones and, you know, feeling crazy. But
I have my eyes on a lot of celebrities. I'm convinced all the Spice Girls. by now. They must all be perimenopause or menopause. They must be.
Yeah.
They're all very quiet on the subject. I don't know if you've noticed.
It almost feels like it's dirty. I don't know why it's dirty because it's... I don't know why it's dirty, but and also I'm quite lucky. I have inherited from my mom, who will be listening to this. We have no shame, so we're quite open. But yeah, the Spice Girls—they must be. Surely they're a bit older than me.
Yeah, absolutely. But it probably is. Well, we know it is. It's very difficult for women in the public eye to, you know, embrace aging, and especially at that tipping point, like you say, you know, you kind of suddenly. But hang on a minute, I've got young kids, like I can't be menopausal, you know, I can't be going down that road yet. So I think there probably is a little bit of disappearing and trying to deal with it. But I'd like to get a Spice Girl on. So if there's a menopausal Spice Girl listening.
calling all menopausal Spice Girls. Yeah, it would be like, obviously we've got Davina McCall and people and Lisa Snowden and people are speaking more about it, which is really brilliant.
Well, listen, thank you so much, Emma Conway, aka Brummy Mummy of Two. It's been really lovely to have you on. So you've got your YouTube channel, which is Brummy Mummy of Two, down to one post a week at the minute, right?
One video a week. But I've also I've got a podcast now, which is called the Phone Box Podcast, where I get a guest on and we talk about our teenage years. So Wonderful. We talk about first kisses, first snogs, music we liked, and it's just a bit of lighthearted. Just a bit of daft fun.
Is it called the Phone Box Podcast? Because you used to have to go down the phone box to ring your mates. Yes.
So the people are phoning me from the phone box, but they're not really. Spoiler, they're not really phoning. Because there are no phone boxes. They're phoning me. It's on Zoom. Sorry, guys, to ruin this. It's on Zoom. But yeah, I think I kind of was like, well, I'm perimenopausal. I'm going to do a new project. I'm going to show the world. Oh, there's no stopping me. And then I couldn't remember how to press record.
Well, it sounds wonderful.
It's
a bit
great.
Of nostalgia thrown in. It sounds like the perfect thing as you get pensive and reflective about the next stage of life. Thanks again to Emma Conway. You can find her on Instagram at Brummy Mummy of Two. And next week on My Last Eggs, we're joined by Becky Cotton, the co-founder of Lumino, who have developed an app to help women with their menopause symptoms. You can follow On My Last Eggs with new episodes released every Wednesday from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Do send a message. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great week.